This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم. I'll briefly translate this for you. Everything in the skies and in the earth declares Allah's perfection and will continue to do so. The King, the Pure, the Authority, the Wise. This is a simplified translation in which I'm going to emphasize the four names of Allah that have been mentioned. And then we'll dig a little bit deeper. Once again, in brief translation, everything in the skies and everything in the earth continues to declare and will continue to declare the perfection of Allah, who is the King, the Pure, the Authority, the Wise. In that order, the King, the Pure, the Authority, the Wise. Okay, so let's now talk about each one of these names a little bit. And what I want to start with is actually an observation of Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, rahimahullah, who pondered over these four names of Allah in this package together. And the thing that he felt ties them all together is the fact that each one of these names in its own way draws you closer to Allah. Each one of these names attracts you to Allah and keeps you in close company of Allah. And he wanted to describe that. And so I'm taking some excerpts from his commentary. I'll start with his commentary on the name, the King. أن العظيم لا ينصرف عن مجلس من كان عنده إلا عند انفضاد مجلسه أو إذانه بانصرافهم. When you're in the company of someone great, in this case in the company of the king, it's improper protocol for you to just walk away. You can't just, you know, you've been given the honor of being in the company of royalty, being invited to the castle, being invited to the inner quarters of a king. You're not sitting in a restaurant. You're not sitting at a train station or in a movie theater or something. You just get up and walk away. There's an actual, you know, proper etiquette, respect, and protocol that has to be observed because you are in the presence of royalty. I actually have experience with this to an extent in the human sense. I've had the opportunity to meet with presidents and, you know, in some cases, members of royal families in different countries, etc. And before you meet them, there's always a protocol team that tells you, here's how you're going to meet the president. Here's how you greet the king. Here's where you're going to sit. Here's how you're going to, you let him eat first, then you eat this, that, the other. You know, there's all this stuff. You can't just, like, in the middle of the conversation, pick up the phone and say, hey, excuse me, king, I gotta take a phone call. That's not gonna happen. What he's trying to get at is when you get introduced to Allah, you are in awe of the fact that you're in the presence of royalty. And you're going to feel ashamed, embarrassed, walking away from that presence, that grand presence. You're so honored that you got to be there. Why would you want to leave that presence? You'll be reluctant to leave that presence. So this first name of Allah draws you in and keeps you there out of reverence for Allah. The second name of Allah, Al-Quddus, which I simply translated as the pure. He says about it, Al-Munazzahu an al-Nuqs, wa huwa yurghabu fi hadratihi. Is someone who is free from flaws. And because they're free from flaws, they're refined, pure individuals, such a person and such an entity, their company is desired. Let me put that in simple words for you. People like refined company. We like people that are pure in their speech, in their mannerisms, in their behavior. Their kindness is pure, their advice is pure, the sincerity is pure. You're gravitating towards those kinds of people. Truthful people, honest people, people that are genuine with you. Those are the kinds of people that you want to be around. So human beings naturally are drawn towards truthfulness and cleanliness and pure kinds of company. But even in the physical sense, if you live in a polluted area where there's smoke and smog and dust and all of that, human beings want to move away from that towards what? A natural environment, a pure environment where they can breathe fresh air, where they can drink pure water. Purity is something that attracts people in the personal, emotional sense, but even physically, we are drawn towards purity and cleanliness. We want to get away from filth and dirtiness. You know, that's a human inclination Allah put inside of us. So in a sense, when you get introduced to Allah as the ultimately pure, being in His company starts purifying you, and thus you feel a change inside of you, and you don't want to leave that company. That's attractive in and of itself. The third, so two names of Allah, so far so good. The quick recap would be the King, that's the first name. The Pure, that would be the second name. The third name of Allah is the Authority, Al-Aziz. He says about it, يَعْتَزُّ الْمُلْتَفُّونَ حَوْلَهُ فَمُفَارَقَتُهُمْ حَضْرَتَهُ تَفْرِيطٌ فِي الْعِزَّةِ. That those who are around the authority, and by the way, let me translate that a little better. I'm keeping it simple so you remember the words, the king, the pure, the authority, the wise. Now we're on authority, the third one. But let me just give you a little bit more about the word al-aziz from the Arabic language. It actually combines two meanings. It combines the meaning of authority, which I've already translated, but it also includes the meaning of honor and dignity and respect. And if you combine those two, the notion that comes from Al-Aziz is an authority that commands respect. That's an important distinction, because there are people and there are entities that have authority, but they don't have any respect. There are neighborhoods in which the police have a lot of authority, but the community doesn't respect them. That happens. There may be an institution, there may be people that people respect, like a teacher may be respected, but he has no authority. That might happen. But Al-Aziz is someone who has authority, and that authority is also respected. And so he says then, why is this name attractive? Because to Imam Razi, all these names are attractive in some way, right? They're drawing you in closer to Allah. He says it's similar to the king. An authority, a noble, respected authority has invited you. You're in their company. You walking away from that company is not degrading them, it's degrading you. You missed out on an honor. You got invited by somebody noble. You got invited by the authority. So you showing your loyalty, you coming up and showing up and staying there is actually is a means of dignifying yourself. So one actually becomes dignified in the company of Al-Aziz. They get Izzah because they're in the company of Al-Aziz. And finally, I quickly get to the final name in this list, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Aziz, and finally Al-Hakim. The king, the pure, the authority, and finally the wise, Al-Hakim. إِذَا فَارَقَ أَحَدٌ حَضْرَتَهُ فَاتَهُ فِي كُلِّ آنٍ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ Beautifully said. When you're in the company of someone wise, every moment you miss out on getting wisdom from them is a loss for you. Every moment you want to take the most of it. I mean, I have personal experience with this, and you might too. There are people, very few people in our life are a source of real wisdom. And if you have those kinds of people, you know that they're very sought after company. So you getting their undivided attention is not easy. And if you do get it, you want to cherish every moment that you possibly can to capture whatever wisdom they have to offer you. There are some teachers in different parts of the world that I look up to. I'll travel, and not to go and give a talk or a speech, I'll just travel to go see them and ask them questions. And if they can give me an hour of their time, 20 minutes of their time, I'll be grateful, because those 20 minutes are more valuable to me than 5-6 hours of studying on my own. That wisdom to me is priceless. That company is priceless. So with the wise, every moment is precious, and it's a close, intimate relationship with a teacher, a mentor, an elder, someone who cares and loves for you, and therefore gives you wisdom. Okay, so these are the four names of Allah that are described inside of this ayah: the king, the pure, the authority, and the wise. This was some things about Imam Razi and how he framed these names together. I want to add some of my own observations to that observation. And I'd like to share with you that these four names of Allah can be further paired up. There are four of them. You can divide them into two pairs. And those two pairs will be the first and the third name are similar. And the second and the fourth name have something in common. So 1 and 3, 2 and 4. Now let me put words to that. That would mean that the king and the authority have something in common, and the pure and the wise have something in common. So let's talk about that. On the one hand, it should be obvious to many of you, what do the king and the authority have in common? A king is an authority. And a king, ideally, is also a respected authority. They have a lot in common. And they both demand loyalty. They are, they're authorities that have to be respected. They have to be obeyed. You have to recognize that they're up here and you're down here. You know, an authority is superior. A king is superior. They're royal and you're a subject. You're down here. These names of Allah, what effect do they have? The effect they have is they make me loyal to Allah, obedient to Allah, humble before Allah. They make me afraid of Allah. They may even be intimidating to me. They're overwhelming to me about the power and the grandeur of Allah and my insignificance. That's what these names highlight. What two names? Al-Malik and Al-Aziz. They are about the greatness of Allah and therefore how minuscule and insignificant I am. I become abd, you know, I become humbled before these two names. But if you look at the other two names, Al-Quddus and Al-Hakim, the pure and the wise, Well, purity, refinement, cannot be experienced from a distance, like those first two names. Purity and refinement is when you get close to someone and you see their mannerisms, and you wisdom is something that when someone puts their hand over your shoulder and gives you advice and understands your situation and then gives you exactly relevant counsel pertaining to your situation. I'm reminded particularly in the matter of Al-Hakim of the story of Luqman in the Quran. Luqman lovingly gives advice to his son, and Allah says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave Luqman wisdom, and then he imparts that wisdom onto his son. That intimate, close, loving relationship, part of that is imparting wisdom. You can't just get wisdom from a distance. You have to develop a relationship with somebody for them to impart wisdom relevant to your life to you. The other, so on the first side, Al-Quddus, refined company, pure company, company whose presence makes you feel better about yourself, brings you peace. In a sense, you can think of it like, I like to think of Al-Quddus and Al-Hakim paired also in a sense that when you're in the company of someone pure, your heart starts getting purified. And when you're in the company of someone wise, your mind starts getting purified with their wisdom, right? So it's hearts and minds that are being refined by the Quddus and the Hakim, the pure and the wise. So two names are distant, royal, grand, even intimidating, and two names are close and friendly, and they bring you near. That kind of makes it seem like these four names are near, or rather far, then near, then far, then near. There's a push and a pull going on as far as how I'm to react to these names between myself and Allah. That dichotomy and that tension is actually something beautifully articulated in the Quran, and they're both necessary components of my relationship with Allah, that distance and that closeness with Allah. First, I want to give you an example of it. And the example, my favorite example of it, among many, is the example of Musa alayhi salam, Moses, when he saw the fire, he was with his family, and he saw a fire up top the mountain, and he told his family, you stay here, I see a fire, maybe I'll get some directions there. Little did he know, he's going to be meeting with Allah when he goes up there. When he gets there, what's the first experience he has? Allah says, Ya Musa, inni ana rabbuk, fakhla'na alayk. Musa, it is no doubt, I am your master, take your shoes off then. Innaka bil wadil muqaddasi tuwa. You are no doubt in the sacred valley of tuwa. He's intimidated. Allah has established His mastery over him. He's just a slave. Take your shoes off. Show proper etiquette. This is an intimidating relationship. And immediately following that, what does Allah say? وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. And I'm the one that has chosen you. I've selected you. Listen carefully to the inspiration being given. Like Allah is saying, I see good in you. That's why this choice has been made. He's making him feel comfortable now all of a sudden. It's closeness with him. And immediately following that, إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي. I am no doubt Allah. No one is to be worshipped and obeyed besides me. Be my slave. Enslave yourself to me. Worship me. That's again mastery and slavery. An intimidating, a powerful relationship. And immediately following that, a close relationship. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish the prayer so you can remember me. A remembrance of Allah, of course, is a matter of the heart and a matter of closeness with Allah. Following that again, he scares him and says, the hour is coming. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْضَى. The hour is coming. I'm keeping it almost entirely hidden. So every person gets paid, gets compensated in accordance with the efforts they made. Don't let anybody distract you, especially the one who doesn't believe in it, distract you from it. And they follow their own way and fall off a cliff. Literally, he says, فَتَرْضَى, because he's standing on a cliff. So he says, they fall off a cliff figuratively, you might fall literally. As Musa is terrified of Judgment Day, he says, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your right hand there, Musa? What's that in your right hand? Like a casual conversation, bringing him close again. I wanted to highlight this because this happens all over the Quran, but now it's important to understand why. Why does that happen? Why are some names intimidating us, scaring us, establishing Allah's authority, and other names making him a friend and a close ally? You know, even someone we love and who loves us. Those two things don't go hand in hand. How are they always there together? You see, if you only have a relationship with Allah about authority, then you're going to be so scared of Allah and so terrified of Allah that you will lose all hope. If you have a relationship with Allah that's all friendship and love, Allah loves me, He knows what I'm going through, I love Him, He's my best friend, etc., etc. You know what happens with friends? Friends don't have authority over each other. Friends start saying, yeah, I crossed the line, but so what? He's my friend, he loves me too much. if we became entirely connected to Allah through His authority, we would become hopeless and fearful only. It would be a very depressing outlook on our relationship with Allah. If our relationship with Allah was only about closeness, only about friendship and intimacy, we would end up taking advantage of that relationship and disobeying Him and not regarding His guidelines. Allah keeps that balance between those two things, just like He does between hope and fear. It's between authority and closeness that He maintains that balance. And that balance is so beautifully knit together in the first ayah of the surah, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, the King, the Pure, the Authority, the Wise. They're close and far, over and over again, subhanAllah.